another active week. And one of the measures that was heard in committee this week involves, I believe, an extension, as it were, to some of the things we've seen in terms of rules that apply to statewide lawmakers. As a House member, who'd like to see a lobbyist gift ban for local lawmakers as well.
So we heard the House bill over in the Senate Government Reform Committee. And basically what the bill does is it extends certain ethics provisions of the Clean Missouri Initiative that was passed by voters in November of last year. And what it would do is it would put in place the same limitations on lobbyist gifts to municipal officials and to county officials that currently apply to members of the legislature. So that would mean that a mayor or a member of a county commission or a sheriff or a prosecutor could not take a gift from a lobbyist in excess of $5. That would sort of even the playing field, so to speak. There are a lot of other provisions that are in there as well that, again, bring some of those ethics reform issues that I've said on the record before, although I have serious concerns about the redistricting provisions of Clean Missouri. A lot of the ethics reforms that were brought forward are things that I am supportive of, and it makes sense to me to extend those to local officials as well.
We saw this week also in, or on the floor, a measure that relates to the workforce development actions that the governor's wanting to take, and this, for in this case, is a Senate bill that really relates to renaming a certain aspect of one of the training programs for Missouri Works.
Yeah, so the governor has been very laser-focused on two issues this session, and I know we're going to talk about one of the other issues in just a moment, but those have been transportation infrastructure funding and then workforce development. You know, one of the things that I've heard a lot whenever I was campaigning for office around the district from the business community in St. Joe and in Platte County is that there are a lot of employers that have open positions. They just don't necessarily have the appropriately trained workforce to fill all the open positions. And so oftentimes we talk about, and it is important to create new jobs, but equally important is to make sure that we have a well-trained workforce to ensure that people are filling the jobs that are already available. We had one of the programs that's a priority issue for the governor that perfected that bill, start moving the state in a strong direction to make sure that we're being competitive, that we have a well-trained workforce, and that we're able to fill all the existing jobs that small business owners across Missouri have open right now.
You touched on this a minute ago, and that's another of the governor's priorities, and it involves transportation funding.
Yes, so the governor has a proposal that he put out to the legislature back at the beginning of session in January during his State of the State address, and what he proposed at that time was a $51 million bond to fund basically repair or replacement of some smaller bridge projects in rural Missouri, about 250 different projects. Four of those projects, by the way, are in southern Platte County, which is one of the areas that I represent. You know, that's a proposal that I'm supportive of. You know, the governor has made very clear that we need to do something about the, you know, critical state of our infrastructure. Missouri has some of the longest stretches of interstate highways in the entire country, and yet we have some of the worst funding. Voters rejected Proposition D this last fall, and so this is the governor's effort to make sure, without raising taxes, we fund those critical infrastructure needs. And so we had a debate on that piece of legislation on Tuesday evening. It ended up being a long night because there was a filibuster against the bill. Where we ended up, I think, is we've sort of reached a compromise position where it's going to be a blend of some bonding and then some upfront commitment of general revenue from the state towards the bridges project. We made a lot of progress. It took us about, 14 hours to get there, but we did make some progress and ended a debate on that at about 2 o'clock in the morning on Tuesday morning. And so I'm hopeful that we get something done. It's critically important that we fund our infrastructure in Missouri. And I think having a proposal that does that without raising taxes is the most fiscally sound way to do it.
We hear a lot over the years about term limits. We've talked about your term limits proposal, the joint resolution, which has now been heard on the floor.
Yep. It was the first bill of mine that we actually perfected. It's a Senate joint resolution, and if passed, what it would do is it would put the issue to voters of whether or not they want to impose term limits on all statewide elected officials. And right now in Missouri, it's interesting, there's only two statewide elected officials that are currently subject to the 8-year term limits that apply to members of the legislature, and that's the governor and the state treasurer, the attorney general, the lieutenant governor, the secretary of state, the state auditor. None of those positions are subject to term limits, and so all of those people who serve in those positions, they can serve 20, 30-year careers in those positions. And one of the things that has become very clear to me is that voters emphatically support term limits. They supported them when they imposed them on the legislature. They supported them when they imposed them on the governor and state treasurer. To me, there's an inconsistency in the law that we would be treating certain statewide elected officials different than others. What my SJR does is it brings parity to the way that we apply term limits to statewide elected officials. So all of the officials who are currently exempted would serve for a maximum of 8 years. And I just think that's common sense. I think it's something that voters have supported in the past, and I'm confident if we get the bill through the Senate and then onto the House, something that voters are emphatically going to support at the ballot.
Speaking of the House, there's a House version of your Land Bank Act for St. Joseph.
So we have the Land Bank Bill, which is one of the top priorities of the city of St. Joseph, which is the largest city that I represent in my district. And what the legislation does is it mirrors a program that has been in place in St. Louis and Kansas City that allows the city to acquire dilapidated and abandoned properties and put them back to productive use to make sure that you sell them to another business or that the city, you know, turns it into a park area or something that would put it to productive use. We've seen in St. Joe certain areas of town that have become problems for vagrancy and blight, where there's a dilapidated building and all of a sudden you'll have people who are homeless who come in and then you have an increase in crime. And so this is just another tool in the tool belt for the city of St. Joseph to deal with some of the blight, to start putting land back to productive use, being able to collect taxes on that land as opposed to it just sitting there vacant, also reducing crime. And so it's a really important piece of legislation. The House version of the bill was heard in committee yesterday, and so we got to have the mayor of St. Joe and some of the other city officials here testify in favor of the bill. Always great, as I've said before on the podcast, to have constituents from the district up here visiting us, and so we got to spend some time with the mayor on the floor of the Senate, and that was pretty fun.